So as the Zen masters say, first there is a self, a little self, an ego self, a myself. And then when you begin to study and meditate, now there's no self. There's only consciousness that is without center or periphery. And the thoughts are illusions, the concepts are all false. They're projections, they're temporary, they're just momentary differences in a whole stream of infinite differential moments of perception. And then suddenly there is the self. From the no-self, the first emptiness, to the second, when the fullness of the infinite intelligence reveals itself fully. And so the Diamond Sutra, or the Diamond Cutting Sutra, which we've been reading, is about this shift, like a cognitive illusion, like an optical illusion. First you see the world, then you see the world is a simulation. But it's a simulation because we are in the mind of God. And the mind of God is simulating a world. There is nothing outside of the mind of God. The Buddha mind. So we've reached section 5 of the Diamond Cutting Sutra, and it's really called that because Buddha is the diamond cutter, and if you study the sutra carefully, it will cut your diamond mind properly. But to appreciate the sutra, you have to have at least an uncut diamond mind. And that means you have turned the ego mind of coal into diamond through putting it under tremendous pressure of being forced to reveal its deepest mysteries. So, section 5, according to the Red Pine translation, is as follows. Quote, "What do you think, Subhuti? Can the Tathagata be seen by means of the possession of attributes?" So Subhuti is the disciple. The Tathagata is a title of the Buddha. And it's a title that is deliberately ambiguous because it can mean both the one who has thus come and the one who has thus gone, the one who is both here and not here, the one who was never here and never gone. It's that absolute inconceivable Buddha mind that is the title by which he's being referred to here, and which he is referring to his self. According to that nature, then, could that Buddha mind be seen by means of the possession of attributes? It's like a koan that's being asked. And Subhuti replies, "No, indeed, Bhagavan. The Tathagata cannot be seen by means of the possession of attributes." "And why not?" "Bhagavan, what the Tathagata says is the possession of attributes is no possession of attributes." So if we go through this reply, he's referring to Buddha with two titles now. He's saying, "Bhagavan, the Tathagata cannot be seen," as if they are two. So what does he mean by Bhagavan, and how is that different from the Tathagata? Bhagavan is the man facing him who is leading the satsang. This is the Buddha's nirmanakaya. But through the eyes of that man, he can feel the presence of the sambhogakaya, the presence of the blissful self. Bhoga is joy, enjoyment, right? Sambhoga, the ultimate joy that he is in. And that can be perceived. And the joy is the joy of total self-sovereignty and liberation. But what he cannot see is the Tathagata. But he knows the Tathagata is there, which is the Dharmakaya. But the Dharmakaya has no attributes, because the Dharmakaya is beyond thought, cannot be objectified. But if you are in the state of the Dharmakaya, you resonate, and what you perceive can only be the Tathagata. But it is perceived through the realization that it is oneself, not perceived through the physical eye, but through the eye of Shiva. So, what he is saying is that attributes are a signifier of the collapsed quantum wave function. If someone has attributes, there is a collapsed wave. So for there to be a body, there must be some collapse of the wave function. But the soul, the mind, the animating principle is decollapsed. The qualium wave of the Buddha mind is decollapsed, which allows the quantum wave then to have access to the infinite potentiality that a body-mind can have in terms of the capacity to think, to feel, to intuit, to sense, not just the ordinary senses, but the extrasensory awareness that everything is animated by spirit. Everything is alive. And that infinite consciousness in trees, in rocks, in animals, plants, clouds, the sun, the moon, all of it is the infinite mind of the one self that you are. And so this having been said, the Buddha told the Venerable Subhuti, since the possession of attributes is an illusion, Subhuti, and no possession of attributes is no illusion, by means of attributes that are no attributes, the Tathagata can indeed be seen. So, no possession of attributes is no illusion. It is the real. You have no collapsed quantum or qualium wave function in your real self. The temporary collapse of the quantum level that enables a body to exist is collapsed by the Tathagata, not by an ego. And so it is formed in order to reveal the lack of form, the formless infinite potentiality that one can only know by entering form, and then by the loss of the no attribute state, one recognizes that the attributes are bondages, they are limitations, they define you, and by doing that, they keep you from realizing the undefinable nature of the true self. And so only if we reorganize our perception to see that which is invisible, that which has no attributes, because that self is the self of wisdom. That is the eternal self. That is the self of bliss, the self that has dreamed and is dreaming all of this that appears with attributes. That ultimate dreamer is free of any constraints within the dream, because there is no identification with any attributes. And so the freedom that that consciousness of the Buddha level of mind transmits is the freedom to decollapse your sense of who you are, to free yourself from any limited idea that you have some weakness or unworthiness or something toxic or something sad or anxious or some feeling of needing to depend or to cling or to project or to deny or to have some unbearable trauma that you're not able to release, or whatever the narrative of that collapsed ego mind is, it's a delusion. Because the self is unborn, uncreated, unformed, without limits, without spatial locality. And without location in time. It's that ultimate freedom that is received when you have freed yourself from language, from the I thought, from duality in which language is embedded, and realize the intelligence that is beyond linear symbolic thinking. It is at that level that knowledge is revealed. To the ego, it's a sacrifice of a defensive capacity, because language is used to defend oneself, to justify oneself, to rationalize. But the ego is not in control of the patterns of its thinking and its projections, and cannot tell illusion from reality. It cannot know when its projections are delusions or when they are accurate, because it has no way of measuring until it becomes outside of its limited self. It must reach ecstasy. The ecstatic state is the state in which the real self is self-revealing. So the word ecstasy has two meanings, because it is a crossover or a hybrid from the Sanskrit to the Greek. In the Sanskrit, ek means one, ekstiti. Means I am standing in the one, as the one self, not in the multiplicity. And the ekstasis of the Greek is I'm standing outside of the limited self. And that outside of the limited is the inside of the unlimited. And it's the unlimited that has no attributes. And those no attributes are your real attributes, because the Buddha nature is nothing other than yourself. So this is the teaching the eternal teaching of every authentic spiritual tradition, regardless of what words are used, whether Buddha nature or Christ consciousness or the Tao or the Brahman or the Ein Sof, it doesn't matter. Don't be trapped by language. Be free to that inconceivable, non-conceptualizable truth that can only be known by letting go of all appearances created by the mind's interpretation of the stimuli, the information that comes into the mind. Refuse to interpret it and let it reveal itself. And what you will discover is that the world is infinite aliveness without any multiplicity of selves, but simply a choreographed infinite fractal nature of a single intelligence that is operating its various nodes and networks to produce mandalas of beauty and meaningfulness, and pointing always to the divine self, who is the creative artist, who is behind, within, and all-pervading the creation. May you know the bliss of that realization, and bring the gift of that beauty of divine luminosity into the field of time and space, so that the dream morphs from a Kali Yuga to a Sat Yuga, from a world of conflict to a world of peace and harmony and love and joy and beauty. This is our function as satyogis. Blessings to all for the ultimate realization of who you are. May you feel complete peace in your heart as you enter the unknown, as you take the leap into a new adventure. As you accept the reality of the perfection of all that unfolds, without ever looking back and without ever worrying about the future, to pay total attention to the presence of the Tao guiding at every step, but invisibly, without attributes, without marks, without words, but magnetically pulling you toward your destiny. And if the heart is open to the infinite love of the self, that destiny will be the highest, the purest, and the most complete. And may you know the even deeper peace of the realization that nothing happens at all. There is no change. The eternal self prevails within time and space and overcomes all illusions of life and death, of loss, of gain, of suffering, of joy, and experiences and imperiences all with a single taste of the blissful presence of divine beauty in every permutation of light and dark and the full spectrum of all the colors of reality that we are able to perceive with our senses and with our pure consciousness, freed of the limits of the senses. And may you know the supreme blissful peace of that source of your being, which is always transcendent of every world and completely unknowable except to its own heart. May you know that you are that.